Our anonymous source delivered a simple file box. It smelled of dust, decades-old dust. The jumble of papers inside is yellowed and crinkly. But looking through it, I find names, dates, and places. I quickly discover the names belong to dead Chinese immigrant workers. Most passed away early in the last century. The records point to a mystery. It begins with graves, empty graves. Bodies are gone. The document trail leads me to a Chinese cemetery in John Day, Oregon. Dennis Smith remembers snooping around the little cemetery when he was a kid in the small eastern Oregon mountain town.
And I remember the papers with the little holes, the little rolls of paper, and they had
holes. Those paper strips were likely a traditional Chinese grave offering.
Who do we think was buried here?
The workers, the miners, and of course they were domestics, and they did whatever work they could find. And
we don't know who most of the Chinese were that were out here. They're pretty lost to history. By the height, about 1880, you know, about 1,000 or 1,500 is the estimates. A huge population out here.
That's Oregon State Parks curator Christina Sweet. She works in John Day at the Kamwa Chung Historic Site. It's a unique state park that highlights the fact that a century ago, Chinatown sprung up all over the Northwest. They rose around mining boom towns like this, also at coastal fish canneries. But now...
So when the two of you look around, what do you see now of a Chinese cemetery and the signs of a thousand, population of a thousand?
Yeah, nothing's here. It's all developed into houses and roads and landscapes changed. Mm-hmm. The grave sites aren't here, and so they kind of get lost to the history and to people's memory, which makes these records pretty exciting.
From John Day, I get in the car and drive about an hour and a half northeast to Baker City, where I am now. Baker City's Chinese cemetery, while a little bit overgrown, is preserved. And the remarkable thing is, here in front of me, I can see pits or depressions in the ground where 62 years ago, just about all the remaining Chinese immigrants buried here were dug up and sent back to China. The papers I have in my lap here have the names of the last 22 to go. They include Lok Ching, Zheng Ji, Lok Sin, Li Gui, Fong Wing, and others. But why? Why go through the trouble of digging up all these graves? That question takes me to Priscilla Weggers in Moscow, Idaho. She's an archaeologist and historian. Weggers tells me, in Chinese popular religion, the ancestor spirits protect the living.
There's a symbiotic relationship between the spirit of the deceased person and the living family members. The family has to come and burn spiritual tributes to them in the form of paper, like paper money, paper cars, today paper cell phones, burn these, and then these will go to heaven and where the deceased will be able to make use of them.
This explains the empty graves. The early waves of Chinese immigrants to this country typically traveled alone, without family. They hoped to return home with pockets full of money. But some of them died here, with no one around to visit their graves.
If you're here and you're buried here, then your family cannot do these obeisances because they need a grave to do it at, where your spirit resides.
Weggers has found examples from all over the West of Chinese benevolent societies systematically digging up remains and sending them home. The documents I received detail two of those campaigns. In 1928, 615 remains made the journey. Then again, after World War II, another 559 sets of bones were collected. In Portland, Rebecca Liu found records of the fundraising campaign for that second effort.
It's a request sent out to every city, every Chinese community in Oregon. So everybody is $1 or $5 or $10, $3. They all willing to chip in, particularly the business.
The Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association organized this. Liu teaches Chinese language classes for that group, which still exists today. Their 1949 shipment would be the last large-scale exhumation of this type in the Northwest.
Sending somebody's remains back to home, and we consider it's a good deed, and you carry that's a good karma. Is that what the American people say, karma?
Unfortunately, somewhere along the way, the enterprise must have picked up some bad karma, too. Legal records I reviewed include a case of the wrong body being dug up. Also, a shipping agent was accused of embezzling what was supposed to be the cargo payment to deliver the bones from Portland to Hong Kong. But the biggest problem was that in mid-1949, China was sinking into the throes of civil war. So whatever happened to that final shipment of bones? Documentary filmmaker Ivy Lin wondered the same thing. She asked around in Portland's Chinatown.
A couple of elders, they said, well, you know, we just don't know what happened to these bones. And then a couple of them said, well, you know, they probably were dumped in the ocean. And I'm like, well, I'm not Buddhist, but being Chinese, I know that's really bad karma. You don't just do that with strangers' bones. I mean, let alone it's like hundreds of boxes of bones, you know. So I was like, that can't be true.
Last year, Lin flew to Hong Kong to see if she could pick up the trail of the pioneer immigrants. Her quest turned into a movie titled Come Together Home.
I burst into tears the moment I heard that. I said, I found them. The museum
staff. Our papers show the carefully crated boxes of bones were addressed to a charity hospital in Hong Kong. We have a receipt letter proving it got there. But then the Northwest immigrants' bones were marooned.
By the time they arrived in Hong Kong, the Civil War already started in China, so the Communist Party in China closed the borders.
China would remain a closed country for decades. That caused overseas Chinese to pretty much stop the practice of exhuming immigrant graves and sending the remains home. Lin says the wandering souls shipped from Oregon in 1949 are still warehoused in Hong Kong to this day.
They just left home for so long that a lot of them, I believe they lost contact with them.
That's where the document trail ends. But I found one more twist. Several academics have detected a reversal in the flow of bones across the Pacific. In the case of Ivy Lin, her father passed away in Taipei 10 years ago.
So we have talked about moving my dad's ashes over to the U.S.
Ivy Lin is among several history buffs who called the historical records we received a treasure box. We plan to deliver the documents to an archive in Oregon to make them available for further study. I'm Tom Bonsi in Portland.